RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listener, welcome back to our English program over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news followed by news across the country, today in history, highlight of the week, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news. First, the headlines. Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi holds bilateral meeting with four countries in Manila. Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi says ASEAN must prepare for challenges in the next 50 years. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi held a bilateral meeting with four foreign ministers from Australia, Sri Lanka, Vietnam, and South Korea on the sidelines of ASEAN ministerial meeting on Saturday, August the 5th in Manila, Philippines. According to Retno Marsudi, at a bilateral meeting with the Vietnamese foreign minister, Indonesia requested that Vietnam be flexible related to maritime boundaries. Retno explained that Indonesia will continue to negotiate water border areas related to the exclusive economic zone in both countries. Meanwhile, in a meeting with Sri Lanka's foreign minister, Indonesia appreciated support for Indonesia's nomination to become a non-permanent member of the UN Security Council for 2019-2020 periods, including Sri Lanka's invitation for President Joko Widodo to visit the country.
Menjadi satu keharusan bagi kita untuk menyelesaikan batas maritim kita.
It is a must for us to complete the maritime boundary. It would be bad that this good relationship would then be colored with incidents related to Vietnamese fishing vessels in our territorial waters. Once again, the Sri Lankan government expressed great appreciation to the Indonesian government for Indonesia's assistance when they experienced drought by sending rice at the request of Sri Lanka. Retno Marsudi said the bilateral meeting with South Korea's foreign minister is equally important as it talks about the condition of the Korean Peninsula. She added various efforts have been offered to North Korea but have not received a response. Furthermore, Retno added Indonesia and Australia agreed to follow up the meeting in the fight against terrorism in Manado, North Sulawesi. The ASEAN ministerial meeting Saturday, August the 5th in Manila, Philippines, as a series of celebrating the 50th anniversary of ASEAN, also discussed ASEAN's preparation for the next 50 years. To the press, Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi said the preparation for facing ASEAN in the next 50 years is closely linked with effort to keep peace, stability, and prosperity in the region, which has been established 50 years earlier. Retno Marsudi explained it includes good preparations because the essence of competitors from other regional countries is inevitable. In addition, the issue of ASEAN unity and centrality is also the focus of a closed-door meeting for the media. Meanwhile, the ASEAN ministerial meeting is also followed with a retreat and produces a stand-alone statement related to the ASEAN foreign ministers' agreement on the launching of missiles from by North Korea to the Korean Peninsula, which violates the UN Security Council resolutions as well as the impetus to immediately issue a code of conduct on South China Sea.
Kita tadi menyampaikan hal yang sifatnya besar, tantangan-tantangannya.
We have conveyed something big, the big challenges, so as we are ready. For example, rivalries in the region will be higher, and we must be ready. And what are we going to do? Whether we want our region to be proxy major power? Of course not. Peace and stability are the key areas of the region to contribute in the world. According to Retno Marsudi, one thing which is no less important to maximize the existence and the role of ASEAN is the existence of the ASEAN Secretariat in Jakarta, which requires the strengthening of budgeting mechanism and strengthening human resources. Retno Marsudi added that budget efficiency is still a target which is expected to be realized when the expansion of ASEAN Secretariat in Jakarta is completed. Thus, it can maximally become the venue of various ASEAN meetings. On Saturday, August the 5th, the ASEAN ministerial meeting was officially opened by Philippine Foreign Minister Alan Peter Cayetano at the Philippines International Convention Center, Manila, Philippines. In his speech, Cayetano said, "At the half-century oath, until now, ASEAN member countries still enjoy the welfare, peace, and security in the region." Alan added, "The high sense of tolerance that is still maintained by the people in the 10 Southeast Asian countries, and even then, is considered to be the key to maintaining stability in the ASEAN region. Meanwhile, with a total population of 600 million, ASEAN contributes gross domestic product to $2.4 trillion.
We now enjoy peace, security, and stability in the region. More importantly, they speak of ASEAN values we have fostered through the years. The same values that allowed us in ASEAN to thrive and progress in peace and harmony with our neighbors, despite the fact that sometimes there are issues and complicated, sensitive matters between us. Yet we have found a way to live peacefully and give our region peace and stability."
At the opening of the 50th ASEAN Ministerial Meeting, Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi will also be present in Manila to celebrate the 50th anniversary of ASEAN on August the 8th. Indonesia will make use of various meetings as a series of ASEAN's 50th anniversary to encourage 9 other member countries to increase commitment to counter terrorism, reduce national transcrime, and stop the circulation of drugs and narcotics. Vice President Yusuf Kalla said the government is encouraging the increase of salt production using technology of the Agency of Assessment and Application of Technology, involving the private sector, namely the salt businessmen themselves, rather than using the state budget. This was conveyed by Vice President to reporters in Jakarta on Saturday, August the 5th. This is to follow up a meeting with Vice President Yusuf Kalla, Maritime Coordinating Minister Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, and Head of the Agency of Assessment and Application of Technology, Unggul Prianto, in Jakarta on Friday, August the 4th, on using salt production technology related to salt scarcity because of salt farmers' harvest failure. Private sector is different with better technique, so we just want to promote people's salt, but with better pattern, better technology. It will be done as soon as possible. Meanwhile, Head of the Agency of Assessment and Application of Technology, Unggul Prianto, explained that the salt production technology of the agency could cut production time in 4 days from the conventional salt farmers, which is 12 days. The salt production technology project by using rotating salt flow technology will be conducted in various regions in West Nusa Tenggara, South Sulawesi, Central Jawa, and other regions. The Agency of Assessment and Application of Technology requires about 400 hectares of land. It will start with 15 hectares of land with a production target of 500,000 tons of salt. Thousands of people from all walks of life gathered to attend nationality simakrama by Indonesian Military Chief General Gatot Nurmantyo at Taman Begawan, Nusa Dua, Bali on Friday, August the 4th. In his speech, Gatot Nurmantyo said that Indonesia currently faces big and real challenges. Pancasila as the state ideology and the spirit of diversity is currently being tested by tribal, religious, race, and interclass issues. The four-star general reminded Indonesians to reflect from a number of countries. He said those countries are frightened by the provocation of outsiders who want to dominate the wealth of natural resources in it.
Jangan sampai negeri ini menjadi kancah konflik antar agama.
Do not let this country become the arena of interreligious conflict among religious groups. Our own brothers are fighting others. They are pitted from outside the countries. After being pitted, other countries pretended to come here to give help, but did not come out. That's dangerous. That's what the president of Afghanistan said. My country was very peaceful, but once there was a terrorist, then another country came in. Until now, I cannot cope because there are too many countries interfering. Chairman of Parisada Hindu Dharma Indonesia Bali, I Gusti Ngurah Sudiana, on the same occasion also reminded the spirit of freedom fighters and the kingdom's times in Bali. He said the Balinese people at that time were willing to sacrifice their lives to see the integrity of the archipelago. Meanwhile, Bali Deputy Governor I Ketut Sudikarte asked all components of the community on the island to maintain pluralism together. According to him, friction on tribal, religious, race, and inter-class issues will harm Bali Island, which livings are from the tourism sector. Around 500 participants, consisting of child health experts from 19 major tropical countries from Saturday, August the 5th, are attending a four-day 11th International Congress of Tropical Pediatrics in Yogyakarta. Former President of the International Congress of Tropical Pediatrics, Professor Lulu Bravo from the Philippines, said tropical pediatric experts are gathering in Yogyakarta to discuss the problems of preventable or treatable diseases. Meanwhile, Chairman of the Indonesian Pediatric Association, Aman Bakti Pulungan, said various diseases discussed in the International Congress in Yogyakarta are in accordance with social development goals.
Dari poin SDG itu, ada tiga.
Of the SDGs, there are three most important things for infectious diseases. Tuberculosis is most discussed here. From rank 45th, now we rank the second. Well, malaria is a disease that has not been there before. For dengue, we bring people to learn this from us here. Especially for MR, we target by 2020, the disease is no longer present. Chairman of the Congress Organizing Committee, Professor Sri Rezeki Hadinegoro, added, among the diseases discussed are two diseases that pose a challenge to children's health in Indonesia, namely diarrhea and pneumonia. Not only discussing the disease, the Congress also discusses the cause and the vaccine. Professor Mortada El Sabrawi from Egypt warned tropical diseases also develop in his country, which is not tropical country. It is due to a large number of immigrants and tourists who have spread the disease. The Congress will also specifically discuss immunization of measles and rubella. Last item. The Indonesian Embassy in Singapore, in collaboration with Digital Fashion Week, Singapore's Textile and Fashion Federation and Galeries Lafayette Jakarta, have unveiled the Rising Fashion Project to promote designers from both countries. The project, which coincides with the 50th year of formal diplomatic relations between the two states, was officially opened at the Galeries Lafayette Jakarta on Tuesday, August the 1st. The term RISING is an acronym for the Republic of Indonesia and Singapore and is the brainchild of Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi and Singaporean Foreign Minister Vivian Balakrishnan, who have pursued the project to deepen cultural and fashion ties between both countries. Ngurah Swajaya, Indonesia's ambassador to Singapore, said RISING fashion is the true definition of fashion diplomacy. He also believes that this will lead to other projects that will highlight both Indonesia and Singapore in the international fashion scene. Singapore's ambassador to Indonesia, Anil Kumar Nayar, also lauded the project, saying the project is an excellent initiative that can help to foster closer collaboration and stronger people-to-people ties within our two countries using fashion and retail. To end the news, here are the main points once again. Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi holds bilateral meeting with four countries in Manila. Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi says ASEAN must prepare for challenges in the next 50 years. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasi, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, welcome back to our weekly segment of news from across the country. The segment which presents interesting information from various regions in a week. Today's segment of the news from across the country will invite you to have a look at the story from Bandung, West Java. Bandung Mayor Ridwan Kamil officially introduced the Bandung Planning Platform, namely Bandung Planning Gallery, at the north of Bandung City Hall, Jalan Aceh, on Tuesday, August 1st. Ridwan Kamil explained that the development of Planning Gallery is the spirit of open government in the field of development planning. The gallery planning project was actually started from 2015. However, due to various obstacles, the new project is completed this year, which worth about 9 billion rupiah. Mayor Ridwan Kamil said the existence of planning gallery could be a medium for citizens to convey aspirations to a number of major projects planning in Bandung. It is a proof that development in Bandung does not implement in one way. Next story comes from Kupang, East Nusa Tenggara. 14 yachts, which were departed from Darwin, Australia on July 29, 2017, arrived at Teddy's Beach, Kupang, to participate in Sail Indonesia 2017 event. They are ready to hold tour visit to a number of tourism places in East Nusa Tenggara. Head of Tourism Destination Development NTT Tourism Office in Kupang, Benny Wahon, said Wednesday that the participants of Sail Indonesia 2017 have arrived in Kupang from several countries such as Australia, Bulgaria, Poland, and the United States. During in Kupang approximately 1 week, the participants will leave for various destinations in the province before they meet in Labuan Bajo, West Manggarai, Flores Island in last August 2017 to continue their trips to other regions in Indonesia. Benny also said the participants will stay in East Nusa Tenggara for 1 month. A story comes from Jepara, Central Java. Kirab Gunung Tradition was organized at Dukuh Sidialit, Kendeng Village, Welahan Subdistrict, Jepara Regency, Central Java, on Monday, July 31st. Shortly, 5 gunungan contained with crops, which are paraded around the village, sold out by the local people. The 5 2-meter gunungan are previously prayed by community at the house of the leader of Dukuh Sidialit Village. The head of Dukuh Sidialit Village, Dwi Haryoso, said the Kirab Gunungan tradition has lasted since hundreds of years ago. The ritual of offerings is intended as a manifestation of gratitude to God Almighty over agricultural abundant harvest. Haryoso said that he always invites people to preserve the tradition of Kirab Gunungan to make people exciting to love the homeland. Listener, that was the news from across the country.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with August 6, 1945, an atomic bomb named Little Boy is dropped by an American aircraft on Japan.
August
Little boy was a code given to a nuclear weapon dropped on Hiroshima, Japan on Monday, August 6, 1945, from a B-29 Flying Super Fortress aircraft named Enola Gay. It was piloted by Lieutenant Colonel Paul W. Tibbets from about 9,450 meters altitude. This weapon exploded at 8:15 a.m. Japan time when it reached a height of 550 meters. Approximately 70,000 people died as a direct result of the explosion. Many other victims later died from nuclear falls and cancer. Pregnant mothers lost their children, or their children were born with disabilities. Little boy is the first of the two nuclear weapons ever used in war. Turning to August 6, 1997, Korean Air Flight 801 crashed. Korean Air Flight 801 crashed on August 6, 1997 at Antonio B. Won Pat International Airport, Guam. The 801 flight is usually flown by the Airbus A300, but Korean Air has scheduled flights on August 5 and 6 to transport Guamian athletes to the South American Pacific Samoa to attend mini games. 228 people died in this accident. Let's end with August 6, 2009. W.S. Rendra dies. Willy Bordus Surendra Broto Rendra, or popular known as W.S. Rendra, is known as a famous writer who earned the nickname The Peacock. Rendra's literary talent was already seen when he was still in junior high school. At that time, he showed his ability by writing poetry, short stories, and drama for various school activities. He also performed several dramas of his work and appeared as a very talented poetry reader. Rendra's poem was successfully published in mass media for the first time in Siyasat magazine in 1952. After that, his poems flowed smoothly in other magazines, especially the magazines of the 60s and 70s, such as Kisah, Seni, Basis, Konfrontasi, and Siyasat Baru. Besides at home, Rendra's works are also famous abroad. Many of his works have been translated into foreign languages, including English, Dutch, German, Japanese, and Indian. The man from Solo is also actively participating in festivals abroad, including the Rotterdam International Poetry Festival in 1971 and 1979, the Valmiki International Poetry Festival New Delhi in 1985, Berliner Horizonte Festival Berlin in 1985, the first New York Festival of the Arts in 1988, Spoleto Festival Melbourne, Forgot Word Poetry Festival Bhopal in 1989, Word Poetry Festival Kuala Lumpur in 1992, and Tokyo Festival in 1995. Well, that was Today in History from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with this week's spotlight, which today is on sustainable forest management for the national economic booster. President Joko Widodo believes forest management in Indonesia is monotonous and poor in breakthroughs. President Joko Widodo asked the Ministry of Environment and Forestry to not hesitate to follow the example of the Finns and Sweden, who successfully manage their forests. Speaking on the Environment Day 2017 at Manggala Wana Bhakti Building, Jakarta on Wednesday, August 2, the President said forest management should be sustainable to boost the national economy and communities around the forest. The president also encourages the application of agroforestry techniques, such as the development of agricultural land and forestry in parallel to be sustainable. He reminded no more forest management programs that are project-oriented. He expressed concern with the high poverty rate among forest community. The president wants to improve the welfare of the people around the forest and insisted he would continue to monitor whether or not his instructions are followed up properly. President Joko Widodo also claimed that he already has a record of those who interfered with the process of forest management or project-oriented. He also reminded to protect the national parks as well. Meanwhile, on the same occasion, Minister of Environment and Forestry Siti Nurbaya Bakar said efforts to improve forest management continue being done. The process is needed given the various practices of forest and environmental destruction which have occurred since decades ago. Siti Nurbaya added, now the people need new methods of work which are quickly completed, and so forth. Siti Nurbaya Bakar said the existing bureaucratic system is very structured and long process. According to her, all stakeholders have been involved in the National Working Meeting at the height of the Environment Day 2017 celebration. The reason is to find solutions related to forest management criticized by President Joko Widodo. The theme raised on the Environment Day 2017 is to go with nature. Ideas that appear in the National Working Meeting are to be proposed to become regulations, whether a government regulation, ministerial regulation, or law. According to Minister Siti Nurbaya, the weakness of the forest management for economic improvement lies in the regulations in some imperfect laws, such as the difference in regulating industrial timber estates and oil palm plantation. In fact, she said, the two industries are equally using the land that comes from the forest. Well, that was this week's Spotlight over Voice of Indonesia. This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Time now to bring you news in brief. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi held a bilateral meeting with four foreign ministers from Australia, Sri Lanka, Vietnam, and South Korea on the sidelines of ASEAN ministerial meeting on Saturday, August the 5th in Manila, Philippines. The ASEAN ministerial meeting on Saturday in Manila, Philippines, as a series of celebrating the 50th anniversary of ASEAN, also discussed ASEAN's preparation for the next 50 years. On Saturday, the ASEAN ministerial meeting was officially opened by Philippine Foreign Minister Alan Peter Cayetano at the Philippines International Convention Center, Manila, Philippines. Vice President Yusuf Kala said the government is encouraging the increase of salt production using technology of the Agency of Assessment and Application of Technology involving the private sector, namely the salt businessmen themselves, rather than using the state budget. Thousands of people from all walks of life gathered to attend Nationality Simakrama by Indonesian Military Chief General Gatot Nurmantio at Taman Bagawan Nusa Dua, Bali on Friday, August the 4th. Around 500 participants consisting of child health experts from 19 major tropical countries from Saturday, August the 5th, are attending a four-day 11th International Congress of Tropical Pediatrics in Yogyakarta. The Indonesian Embassy in Singapore, in collaboration with Digital Fashion Week, Singapore's Textile and Fashion Federation and Galleries Lafayette, Jakarta, have unveiled the Rising Fashion Project to promote designers from both countries. That was the end of News in Brief over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 9525 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Indonesian Wonder, a special program introducing Indonesian tourism, including places of interest, culture and tradition, also Indonesian cuisine. Today, I will introduce Selayar Island in South Sulawesi Province. So stay tuned in to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen this broadcast through www.voi.co.id. South Sulawesi not only has abundant wealth of sea products, but also places of interest that you can visit while in the province, such as Selayar Island. It is a small island located in Selayar District, South Sulawesi Province. The capital of Selayar Regency is Benteng Town. The trip to Selayar Island takes about 10 hours from the city of Makassar. On the island of Selayar, you can also see some unique historical objects such as a giant anchor located in Padang Beach. This anchor came from a large ship from China which had stopped at this island. Another historical object is a nekara that came from the Bronze Age. Nekara is shaped like a gong with images of stars, elephants, coconut trees, fish, frogs, cranes, and peacocks around it. On the island of Selayar, you can also see the life and culture of people in Padang Beach. Here, you can see a fishing village with its various activities ranging from preparing to go fishing with various equipment to catch fish to how they process the fish from the sea. There is also the unique Toa Bitombang village, which is the oldest settlement on Selayar Island. The village has bamboo roof houses with high wooden supports so that they are above ground level with a high enough elevity. And because the surface of the ground is not flat, then sometimes the front of the house has a pole with a height of 2 to 3 meters and the back of the house has a pole with a height of 13 to 15 meters. The house poles are made of good quality biti or holasa wood, and this is why the houses in the settlement remain strong despite being hundreds of years old. The other uniqueness is that so many of the villagers who are over the age of 90 years but still can do productive activities such as farming and gardening. On the island of Selayar, there are many beautiful beaches with very fine white sand like Pamatata, Tanah Era, Lansangireng, Taloia, Pabadilang, Rampang-Rampangan, and Labuang Nipaya beaches. Not only pretty beaches, Selayar Island is also ready to present a beautiful underwater panorama in Takabonerata National Park. Here, there are coral atolls with an area of 220,000 hectares, which are the largest in Southeast Asia and the third largest in the world. Indeed, the beauty of the beach, the sea, the buildings, the culture, the uniqueness of nature and people are the charms of Selayar Island that are interesting to see and enjoy. That ends this edition of Indonesian Wonder featuring Selayar Island in South Sulawesi Province. We'll meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic.
Thank you for still being with us, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, PO Box 1157 Jakarta 10110 Indonesia, or to our email address at english@voi.co.id. Listeners, now let's listen to our segment, Miscellany.
Miscellany. Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Listener of Variable Service Voice of Indonesia, welcome to Miscellany, a regular program that gives you various information about Indonesia. This edition, we will discuss the topic of the Ministry of Tourism organized Nusantara Restaurant Design Contest 2017, so stay tuned. Indonesian Ministry of Tourism launches Nusantara Restaurant Design Contest 2017, which aims to support and develop tourism in 10 destinations of priority tourism 2017. The launch was held at Balairung Susilo Sudarman Sabta Pesona Building, Ministry of Tourism, Jakarta on Wednesday, August 2, 2017. Tourism Minister Arifaya said that Indonesia still needs to increase the growth of iconic buildings or buildings with architecture in accordance with local wisdom. According to Minister, among the areas that have been paying attention on the development of the archipelago architecture are Bali and West Sumatra. Mr. Arifaya added that this contest aims to create designs at the level of ideas that will be a reference for people, investors, and tourism businesses to build restaurants in 10 priority tourism destinations. In 2016, the Tourism Ministry held a design contest for tourist homestays, which is now being implemented. Listener Arifaya further explained, Horeca or hotel, restaurant and cafe is an important part in the tourism world, which has become a big job for the Ministry of Tourism. Indonesia has a very wide area that not all can be reached easily. If you have to build a hotel, it takes at least 5 years, likewise with domestic restaurants. Nusantara restaurants should be built with local architecture by utilizing local materials such as bamboo, wood, rattan, or simple materials available in each region. Mr. Arif Yahya said that 10 priority tourist destinations all have their own uniqueness. The Nusantara Restaurant Design Contest 2017 is open to architecture scholars, both members or non-members of the Indonesian Architects Association, individuals or groups. A total of 30 finalists will get a total prize of 1 billion rupiah. According to plan, the announcement of the winner of Nusantara Restaurant Design Contest 2017 will be held in September 2017 in Jakarta, coinciding with the commemoration of World Tourism Day or International Tourism Day, which is also celebrated as National Tourism Day. Listener, that was Miscellany for today. We will meet again in another interesting topic tomorrow. Goodbye. Thank you.
meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia. Hello, listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we'll also play some Indonesian music. Well, we would like to thank you, our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. And now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Rafael Fontane from Spain. He sent his email through info@voi.co.id. In his email, Mr. Rafael Fontane said that he has been listening to Voice of Indonesia since 1995 in Spanish through the shortwave. He likes music and programs on tourist information. Hello, Mr. Rafael Fontane. Thank you very much for being our regular listener. Hopefully, you always monitor our program, which is broadcast in 8 foreign languages and also in Indonesian language. We are glad because you like our Indonesian music and also information on tourists, which are presented through Indonesian Wonder. In this segment, we always invite our listener to know more, not only about Indonesian culture and arts, but also about Indonesian beautiful sceneries as well as our typical culinary. Do you want to see all of them? Just participate our international quiz. Send your answer as soon as possible. Well, Mr. Rafael Fontane, keep listening to our broadcast, and we are looking forward to receiving your email and also your reception reports. And special for you, we will play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song.
Sight to stare, got no place.
listener, now we will reply a letter from Peter Angie in Malaysia. He was listening to our broadcast on June 6, 2017 at 1000 hours UTC through frequency of 9525 kHz. And the simple was 444. In his letter, Mr. Peter told that he appreciates our attention as to have the report acknowledged and mailed to him the latest QSL card of Voice of Indonesia. Hello, Mr. Peter. We are really glad to receive your letter again and to know that you have received our QSL card. How are you? We hope today you are monitoring our radio. Thank you very much. Your reception report of our broadcast is very detailed. As information, Voice of Indonesia holds international quiz. Please participate in our quiz and send your answer immediately because the quiz will be closed on August 1st, 2017. So, Mr. Peter, keep listening to our broadcast and please don't forget to send your reception report. Thank you.
Around, feeling so high.
You're still listening to Listeners Mailbag broadcast every Sunday. Now we continue to reply a comment from Francisco Camarata Scalisi from Spain. He was listening to a program in Spanish language. In his email, Mr. Francisco Camarata Scalisi said that he writes to us first because he likes our programming very much, which is very informative. Hello, Mr. Francisco Camarata Scalisi. Thank you very much for your email and also your compliment on our broadcast. As information, besides Spanish language, you can also monitor our broadcast in other 7 foreign languages, namely English, Dutch, Mandarin, Japanese, Arabic, German, and French, as well as Indonesian language. We are also holding international quiz, which gives the main prize for the winner, which is traveling to Indonesia for free. Are you interested in participating in the quiz? Well, send your answers immediately to voyinternationalquiz@gmail.com. voyinternationalquiz@gmail.com. The quiz will be closed on August 1st, 2017. So please keep listening to our broadcast and sending your report. For you, listener, wherever you are, we will play a beautiful song.
No, I can't explain what I feel like.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id. Or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.